get locked, that many key locks down in the building? All right, so we need a minute here to get set up and then do some other. Oh, I got the handguns in my office. You know, you get the hand, I got a couple handguns.
Well, I just found out for projects and topo, it's not gonna be easy. I was listening to Randy last night trying to get like the blocks all together and it's like, you come up with a template and stuff, import that. So I was like, oh, Joyce, that's gonna be bad.
You have to request it. You have to request it.
Would you call that thing that goes with the bush? Right on there, yeah. It's a bit of wheel for the plate.
Yeah, I thought that was a type of fastener.
Oh, I thought, no, I think you can make it by hand.
Nope.
Yeah, I know, but
yes.
It was a type of
fastener.
It's there.
It's not very often I see someone with a call to my email once. Not very often.
On my name?
No, it's just there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah.
Similar idea.
Similar.
No, I know the proper spelling of your name.
Tyson, you wouldn't happen to know how to get arrows in Rabbit, would you?
I know it's like CAD, where you just like, there's like a library of them, but I don't remember where.
I ended up finding arrows for the direction of travel for vehicles, but I needed arrows to show drainage of concrete for the parking.
Oh, you don't need a north arrow, just a basic arrow kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when you go into like a design line, I think there's an option to pick an arrow. I'm pretty sure.
Come on, Jules. Come on, that's work here.
All right, so on welding, there's not a lot to this unit. What we want to focus on for our objectives are to the design and model of weldments using Inventor. Inventor goes over two types of welds, fillets and grooves, but there's certainly a lot more weld types than just those, but those are probably the most common. Most applications will involve either a fillet or a groove weld. And then we want to have a basic understanding of how to create these weld designs using Inventor and what the symbols mean. You're not going to be expert at weld symbols, but you'll have a basic understanding. Okay? Well, that's our objective. So yeah, there's not a lot to do. Welds are used primarily for assembling parts together permanently. We use fasteners to assemble parts temporarily, but welds are used to assemble parts permanently. Welding is often used in the assembly or fabrication of things like machines, frames, piping, and structural components too. In most manufacturing processes, material is being removed. But welding is one of the only processes where material is being added. No, Claire, that's not me. I probably couldn't weld. I couldn't probably make two pieces stick together with a weld. I couldn't. As far as the physical skills go for welding, I suck.
They're trying to make the show. It ends up being two feet long with a 6 pounds. So it didn't turn out very well.
But I do have a lot of experience in the design and the specification. So welds are typically assemblies, a collection of individual or small parts that are permanently joined together. Welding is quite often a cheaper way of manufacturing. It cuts out the use of machining time. Remember, if you use fasteners, you've got to drill holes and, you know, consider tolerances and things like that, where welding, you don't. So it's often a bit quicker and a bit cheaper to weld things. And again, remember, if it's okay that the assembly be permanently joined together, that's the usual or preferable way to go. But if the assembly has to be removed at any time, then you don't want to weld it. Now, welds are identified on drawings using a standardized symbol. The symbol will include the type of weld. It'll have information about its location. It'll have information about the size, depth, and angle, like the geometry of the weld. And this is all done through standardized symbols. So these welding symbols are pretty much used around the world. And here you can have, this is a picture of the slide. Alan, you don't have to draw that picture out. I'll give you the...
practice?
I knew you weren't anyways. I was just being silly. All right, so let's look at some of the basic categories of welding or methods of welding. You have your gas welding. You have your arc welding. And you have your resistance welding. So the gas welding is your Gamon, or sorry, your OFW. And your arc welding is your Gamon, and your resistance welding is RSW. So let's look at, we're going to look at each category in a little bit more detail now. But those are the three basic methods or processes welding falls under. It'll either use a gas, it will either use an electric arc, or it will either use resistance. So let's look at each one of these in a little bit more detail. Let's start with gas welding. You saw in the previous diagram that the initials OFW, which stands for oxygen fuel welding, or gas, oxygen being a... Another gas that's used in this type of welding is acetylene. So you may have heard of the oxyacetylene, where they use to go into any shop, they'll have a big green bottle and a big red bottle hooked up to a torch, oxyacetylene. So with the combination of acetylene and oxygen, it produces a flame that's hot enough to melt metal. So when you go to the muffler shop and they cut your muffler off, they're using an oxyacetylene torch to do it. And what happens is they have a handle on the torch that when it opens, it shoots oxygen into the, and that's what makes it hot enough to, and the sparks, you see the sparks flying? Because the burst of oxygen is creating that heat and forcing the molten metal to fly away. Right? So that's your oxyacetylene, using oxygen and acetylene gas to produce a flame hot enough to melt the metal. The next process is called arc welding, GMAW. It stands for gas metal arc welding, gas metal.
This process is primarily used to fuse parts together. Oxyacetylene is used to, you know, cut metal, but this process is primarily used to fuse or join metal. The process involves heat from an electric arc. So you have a wire electrode being fed and a shielding gas. So that's where it gets its name, gas, metal. The metal is a little wire electrode that comes through the nozzle, and that's the filler material. That's what melts into the groove. And then you have what they call a shielding gas. And it's usually an inert gas, and what it does is it shields the metal in the weld from becoming oxidized. And this is called gas metal or arc welding. And there's two basic types of arc welding. There's MIG, which uses the inert gas, and then there's MAG, which uses an active gas. Now there's other variations of this type of welding. So we have MIG, MAG, and we have tungsten arc and tungsten gas as well. And you may have heard of plasma welding, which creates an arc through a heated gas. And this is part of your TIG, or gas tungsten arc welding process. Again, you have a metal wire that is your filler material that's being fed through the nozzle, as well as either a shielding gas or a plasma gas. That covers the weld so it won't oxidize. Of course, the outer layer of the weld will oxidize, and you'll see them chip that away and then grind it down. And the last category of welding is also very common, and it's resistance welding. And resistance welding occurs when you have two electrodes, and the metal is clamped between the two electrodes, and then a current is passed through, and what it does is the part acts as a resistor, right, between the two electrodes. And the current that's passed between those two electrodes, when it hits the metal, it builds up resistance, and it gets hot enough to cause the metals to fuse. So in the diagram here, right, we have the two electrodes, and we have a power supply. So as current is passed from one electrode to the other, the material in the middle here offers resistance, like a resistor. So what happens is the electricity can't flow, so it backs up, gets really hot enough to melt the metal. And this happens very quickly, like in a second. And this is how cars are put together, if you've ever seen that. The robots, electrodes come together, zap, done. Lots of sheet metal parts are assembled with resistance or spot welding is another term. So those are the main types of welds, welding categories. You have gas, you have your arc, and you have your resistance. Next we'll look at welding drawings. Welding drawings are a special type of assembly drawing. Welds can consist of a number of different pieces assembled together, joined together as one unit. The welds themselves are not typically drawn, but are indicated using symbols. On the drawing, the parts are assembled or drawn are on the drawing as if they were not welded. So before the weld, what shape do they have? Of course, you can include dimensions as well. Now, inventor. So normally we wouldn't draw the welds, but inventor draws them. Boom. So inventor's kind of neat because you can specify the weld, and not only will on the drawing will it create draw the weld, but it'll also draw the symbol based on the specs that you give it. So it's pretty simple. Again, we use a number of different symbols to represent the weld. Here's some examples. Maybe hard to see on the overhead here, but some examples of weld drawings, like a pressure vessel. I'm sure Brahm is having you do some welds on the pressure vessel. Funny how all this stuff kind of comes together in these files. So yeah, there's welds on the flanges and that on the pressure vessels. Here's just a little assembly. You can see the weld symbol here. Not that clearly though. This is another example of a drawing, and again, you can see the parts in their position before they're welded and the weld symbols. The weld symbol down here. Alright, so before you use the symbols, you gotta kinda know common joints. And that's not the kind you smoke. Although I don't think they call them that anymore. I don't think it's called them that anymore. I don't think they used to. Now they use bombs, don't they? Isn't that a game you call it? Beer bomb? All right, some of the more common types of joints. So joints are classified according to the position of the parts. Basic weld joints include the butt, a corner. So this is a butt joint where the two pieces are, you know, butted up against each other. A corner joint, a T, a lap or an edge. And there's a number of different types of welds that are applicable to each of these joints. So what is the main reason for assembling the parts in these manners? The purpose of these joints is so that you distribute or transfer load force between the parts, right? You're doing strength of material, so you know, or you've done statics, so you know how a load moves through the members of a structure. So as a load is transferred from one member to another, that's why these joints are the way they are, is so that it can facilitate the distribution of stress or load through the components in the assembly. Now, as we said, there's a number of different types of welds that can be applied to these joints. The types of welds that are commonly applied to these joints are back welds, fillet welds, plug and groove. Now, in this diagram, you may see these little symbols that on the right-hand side. These are all grooves. So different types of grooves. So you can have a V groove, you can have a U groove, you can have a J groove. Just depending on what you do to the edges of the material. So these are basically grooves. So this is a back, this is a fillet. This is a plug, and the rest are grooves. So that's a back weld, fillet weld, plug, and these are all grooves. Groovy, man. So depending on the configuration of your parts, right? You would use a fillet weld or a groove weld or any of these. As far as resistance welding goes, there's spot, projection, seam, and flash. Probably the most common being a spot weld, where the weld, the metal is fused in a very localized area. Hence the name Spot. Here's Spot. Here's Spot. Is that your dog, Spot? You're your cat person, I bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we don't like cats.
Obviously, two cat people.
All right, so these welds are identified on the assembly of the parts using these symbols. So I have another handout here for you. This handout, the first handout I gave you primarily talks about the types of welds and where these components are on the welding symbol. This one gives a little bit more information about these different types of welds. It gives you information on the basic types of joints and the weld symbol itself. So it's just a little bit more information.
Thought I forgot you, didn't you? Thank you. Alan, who yes, could sir. Forget you, right?
Oh. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry?
Architecture, come on.
Yeah, I mean, so you can see it. Wide range of applications welding.
Thank you. This has been really helpful.
You guys learned this
already? Thank you. characteristics of the weld, the joint, the type of weld, whether it's on one side of the joint or the other side of the joint, all that good stuff is represented by standard symbols. I'll just finish symbols and then I'll stop. Is that okay with you? So let's look at the elements of the weld symbol. These are the basic elements, and that handout that I just gave you has all that. The basic elements are a leader. Right, we have our leader at the front here with an arrow. Then we have a landing, which is the horizontal part. It's called a landing. And we can place information above or below, and that has significance. The next basic element is this little thing at the end of the landing. It's called a tail. So basic elements, leader, landing, tail. You'll know this this little arrow coming up off the leader. This is your field weld, which means or signifies that the weld is to be done in the location, in the field. So reference to a specific process or any other information is usually put in the tail. So like specific notes to the welder or whatever, you want to put those in the tail. Welds that go all the way around the joint are indicated with this circle where the leader hits the landing. So this circle means all the way around the joint. So here's a welded sample that I plotted, and you can see how the weld goes all the way around the joint. All the way around. So that's what this little circle means. The weld is to continue all the way around. The vertical with the flag, this is a flag, and here again it means out in the field. Welds can be specified on the same side of the joint or the opposite side of the joint. By where the symbol is placed on the landing. So you can see that if I place the symbol below the landing, it means that the weld is to appear on the side that the leader is pointing. Does that make sense? So this means put a fillet weld right here. This means put a fillet weld on the other side. Right? So if I put a fillet weld symbol on the top and the bottom of the landing, it means put it on both sides. Below is the arrow side, above is the other side. So that's what that means. Anything below on the bottom is the arrow side. Anything above is the other side of the joint. So those are the basic elements of the weld symbol. Other information that you include in the weld symbol are the type of weld. You could specify a particular process. So like for the arc, there's many different processes. You could specify that which process. The geometry of the weld is also specified. So such as the length, the size of the groove, if you want a particular finish. So after welding, if you want this ground smooth, right, if you want it ground smooth, you would indicate the type of finish. The length, if you have welds that are intermittent, so you have like an inch of weld and an inch of space and an inch of weld and an inch of space, that's called the number in pitch. So this is other information. This is the type of information that is added to our basic weld symbol. So our basic weld symbol is a leader with a landing and a tail. That's our basic weld symbol. And then we add to our basic weld symbol, using the standard symbols, we add this information, or as much information as is needed. Not all of it, just what's needed. All right, so here's an example, and we'll pick up here next class. Fillet welds being one of the most common types of welds, so we can see a pictorial on the left here. We can see a pictorial of what the weld looks like. This is what the weld physically would look like, and this is how we represent it with the symbol. So we have our basic elements, the leader, the landing. This one doesn't have a tail, but now I have my symbol. So if I put my symbol below the line, it means on the arrow side. And 0.5 means that the size of the weld is 0.5 or half an inch. That's a big weld. Right? If we want it on both sides, we put the information above and below. The pitch of the welds and the length of the welds are also indicated, or can be, right? You include as much information as you need using these symbols. Right? So we're going to stop there for now, and next class I'm going to talk more about these fillet welds and groove welds. And then we'll show you how to create them with Inventor. Yeah, there's a chapter in your book. I don't know which chapter it is. 14, I'm thinking. I don't know why 14 stuck in my mind, but I think it's 14. Yes, chapter 14. And this book, by the way, is good for mechanical next semester that we're going to do. So the rest of the class, you can just work on what you need to work on. So next week, what we'll do is we'll do some more on welds, show you how to use the Inventor to do them, and then we'll do a review for the test on threads, and then the test on threads next week. So I'm not really changing anything in the schedule, except that we just started welds a little earlier. But the test dates I'm not changing. And then we'll probably be on the route we're going. We'll be done a week or so.
That's here.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's
so, that way you can focus on all your other classes, like that goofy solver stuff.
Is there a file exam at that point?
We're doing a test, what I like call an inventor proficiency test.
Okay, and you just have
it'll be before the end of classes.
Okay.
That'd be an exam.
And what about advanced
cat? Yeah, that's what I can
December on your schedule for proficiency test. I think it was
fine. Might sound a little late.
Yeah, those sound late. I'd like to be done and have a month off.
No, I guess not. Right. The last day of classes is the 9th. And that's what we'll have. Or if you want, because it looks like we're going to be done.
You know what? That wouldn't hurt either, right? Because then you're done.
I'm flexible.
Yeah.
We'll go with the flow and see what happens.
So what is that? You just kind of give us certification for something and we just have to create it?
Yes. I'll give you a part and you'll create the part. It'll involve creating parts, using content center, assembling, like putting the assembly constraints, making a drawing, putting a weld in it. Believe me, if you've done the project and you get to the end, it's no big deal. Just want to make sure that you've applied or can apply what you've learned through the semester. And I give you the class to do it. It's not that. It won't take the whole class. And you're not going to plot it on paper either. You're going to do a little assembly drawing. And then you can DWF it. But yeah, no, and we're a week ahead of our schedule, and if we continue on this, then we'll just finish. That isn't that goofy Revit stuff, is it? Who makes you do that? Revit. I wouldn't even know which end of a Revit to hold. You don't have to shovel it, though.
Yeah.
Not bad.
If you were